This podcast is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those looking to explore classic Christianity with Connected Age resources, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 75. Today's episode is on the importance of prayer in your spiritual formation. This episode is the fourth in a series devoted to the topic of spiritual formation. In the last episode, I discussed some practices and resources which may be helpful in your use of the Bible in Christian spiritual formation. In this episode, let's explore the importance of prayer in spiritual formation. When speaking about the Bible and prayer and spiritual formation, the topic of biblical meditation as a kind of bridge between both often comes up. I've covered the topic of biblical meditation in previous episodes of the podcast, specifically in episode 15 on the Puritan practice of meditation. I will have a link to that episode on the Restoring the Core webpage for this episode. Prayer is perhaps the most central practice of spiritual formation. Even with the priority which the Bible assigns itself as the written word of God, the importance of prayer can hardly be overstated. Prayer is found to have had a pivotal role in the life of God's people from the earliest times. Prayer was practiced well before any of the words of the Bible were put into writing. As early as the events recorded in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, we find, "At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord." This is one of the earliest direct references to prayer to be found in the scriptures. In developing the practice of prayer, it helps to know that there are a lot of both and aspects to prayer. Prayer can be both spontaneous or pre-written. It can be both corporate and individual. We'll look at those aspects in a few moments. As with any of the practices tied to Christian spiritual formation, it is important to remember that such a practice must be given priority, planned for, and done with a purpose in mind. Be sure that you make time for prayer. Perhaps it is better said that you need to carve the time from your day for prayer. We live in a world of seemingly endless distractions. We are also told in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? When our capacities for self-distraction and self-deception are combined, the only hope for our thinking and growth in the things of Christ is a purposeful effort to stay close to God in Christ through prayer. One person in the Bible presents us with a perfect pattern for prayer, namely the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Scripture, we see how he modeled both corporate and individual prayer. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4 and verse 16, we are told about a time in which the Lord Jesus visited the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. Luke tells that Jesus did that as was his custom. Apparently, Jesus faithfully attended synagogue on the Sabbath, a service which would have included a number of corporate prayers as a part of that weekly worship gathering. In the Gospel account, we also find several instances in which the Lord Jesus prayed individually. One specific instance is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 35. Only hours before, the Lord Jesus was spending a bit of time on the night of the seventh day of the week to heal people in the village of Capernaum. Yet, in the pre-dawn hours of that first day of the week, we find the Lord Jesus rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Both the corporate and individual aspects of Christ's prayer life on earth should give us pause to reflect. The morally perfect Son of God was dedicated to a life of prayer. In fact, we see no evidence in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus somehow tapped into his own divinity to perform miracles. While being fully God, Jesus was and is fully human. If the Lord Jesus relied on prayer to God the Father during his time on earth, how much more so do we need to be a people of prayer? I would like to make a few suggestions about either starting a life of prayer or perhaps deepening the one which you already have. Read what you can concerning prayer. Many Christians of the past and present have had tremendous insights into the wonder of what it means to go to the one who made us and invites us to meet him in prayer. These writings can teach us and inspire us to a deeper life of seeking after Christ in prayer. Read also written prayers found in such sources as the Book of Common Prayer or collections of prayers such as the Valley of Vision. Be mindful of what you are doing in prayer. Other world religions have forms of prayer directed to their gods and goddesses. What humans without God's word and God's spirit will default to in how they try to communicate with their deities is something which can harm our thinking about how the God of the Bible really wants us to meet him in prayer. One distortion is that prayer is seen as a type of magic. It is intended to manipulate. Even within some Christian circles, there are some who believe that certain words of a kind of prayer repeated over a set interval of days puts God into the position of having to respond to the petitioner's request exactly as the petitioner wants. Strangely, this kind of prayer, if it could happen, would put God into the position of addressing the petitioner and saying to him or her, "Your will be done." Another view of prayer is that if enough prayer is done, and good luck trying to determine what enough is, that we can get God to change his mind concerning a situation about which we are praying. What is not understood about prayer is not that we change God's mind, but rather he changes us as we pray. Sometimes prayer is ignored due to a case of bad theology. One might think that since God won't be changing his mind about a given situation being prayed over, why bother praying at all? In this regard, what is often overlooked about prayer is that God himself moves his people to pray. Somehow, our prayers serve a purpose in God's intentions for the world. Another instance of bad theology leading to little or no prayer happens when we think of God's attributes. When we reflect on the doctrine of God's omniscience, that is, his knowing all things, we might lay aside prayer since we understand that, as we pray, the God who made heaven and earth already knew from before time what precisely we would be praying for. A great antidote to this kind of thinking can be found in the 26th verse of the 119th Psalm. It reads, "When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes." In a sermon by the 17th century English minister Thomas Manton on this very verse, we find that Dr. Manton was careful to make the point that we see in this verse that God wants us to tell him how we are doing. It is not to supply God with information which he doesn't already have until we tell him. He already knows it. He always did. Yet in engaging with us, the God who knows all things, including what we are about to say, wants to hear us tell him what is on our heart and mind. Prayer strongly resembles a kind of language. It is said that when one's language skills are developing, they will speak in a broken way. One who is learning English, for example, might default to certain words or constructions of their native language early on. They are said to be speaking a kind of broken English. Christian author Rosaria Butterfield has said in one of her writings that she speaks the language of broken holiness. I think we can extend that analogy for how we speak in prayer. We speak in the language of broken prayer. One can study a language, but does not truly become proficient in that language until one speaks a language. In the same way, one can study prayer, and should as time, resources, and circumstances permit, but not really know prayer until one actually takes the time to pray. Please do not allow any feelings of unworthiness to keep you from praying. We do not pray because we are worthy. We pray because we recognize our need and our unworthiness, and do so to find those needs of ours met by Christ. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 2, we find the Apostle Paul instructing the believers in Colossae, and us as well, to devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. The Koine Greek term that was used in the original, translated here as devote, is the word proskarterio. It appears frequently in the New Testament and carries with it the sense of attending to something and to do so on an ongoing, continuous basis. It is used in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, by the apostles as a reminder to the early Christian community that those apostles were called to a ministry of word and prayer which was ongoing. In the same way, devote yourself to prayer as an ongoing part of your life. I'd like to leave you with one last thought about prayer. please set aside time for prayer. There will be and should be moments of spontaneous and unplanned prayer. However, without regular set times for prayer, you will find excuses for not continuing in this practice. As you plan for a time or times of prayer during a day, recognize that several factors will shape how you do this. Commitments at work, the season of life that you're going through, your temperament, and also keeping in mind that different people function well at different times throughout the day. All of these and more will be a factor for you to find the best time of day for you to set aside for prayer. Please find a time that works well for you. Some of the literature about individual Bible reading and prayer time with the Lord can leave a reader with the impression that the only legitimate time for this is at the exact same time every single day in the morning. That may work for many people, but it doesn't work for everyone. Please be careful not to enslave yourself with a misconception of what this time with the Lord is all about. What is important is that you have time in the presence of the Holy Lord. I speak from personal experience. For many years, while I did read scripture and pray during different times of the day, I thought that I was missing out because I couldn't quite make that 1 hour early in the morning every day and experience it as a reality. Recently, I've had the joy of being able to spend time with the Lord during the early morning hours. What turned out to be a kind of spiritual retreat several weeks ago led me to understand that I needed to be more flexible in planning prayer time in God's presence. I do awake while it's still dark, but the start time is varied quite a bit. I don't always do the exact same things. However, it is my habit to spend some time in Bible reading, reflection, and prayer. Sometimes I take 45 minutes, sometimes over an hour. Sometimes I stay up if I'm praying in the middle of the night. Sometimes I go back to bed for a little bit. This approach has really helped me to remember that what I'm doing is not a self-imposed, rigid duty, but rather what has turned out to be a truly joyful time in the presence of the Lord. In our next episode, I will begin to discuss aspects of fellowship as a practice for Christian spiritual formation. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active. It is found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.